Ephesians chapter 4 this evening. Good to see everyone out. Hope everyone had a good day. Ephesians chapter 4. If nothing else, the Lord is good.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter number 4. We're going to read a few verses to start off tonight. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's start reading verse 17, if you will, please. Ephesians 4, 17. The Bible says this, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Verse 18, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." We're going to stop there for the reading this evening. I'm going to do something a little bit different for tonight's message, in case you haven't noticed. We're going to try to utilize the PowerPoint here shortly. But what I'd like to talk to you about tonight is something that I think is very important in the time in which we live. I'd like to talk with you just for a little bit about technology this evening and the impact that it can have on our lives. All right, so let's pray, ask the Lord's help. Brother Kirby, would you do that for us, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Ephesians chapter number 4, if you've been around, if you've been in church for any length of time, I'm sure that you have heard this passage preached. We're going to kind of use this to kind of jump off into a couple different passages. But, you know, one of the things that we hear, or one of the things that I hear pretty often, is people who are lost especially, and some even proclaim to be Christians, they ask what the Bible has to say about current events. Things that go on in our lives today, things that we see every day. And I think technology is especially one of those things. Because people looked at the Bible and they say, well, there's nothing in here about what I'm supposed to do with my iPad. There's nothing I'm supposed to do in here about my Samsung. Well, I would submit to you that there is. There's quite a few things, actually, that the Bible gives us. So Ephesians chapter 4 is going to lead us into that. So if you would, let's look back to verse number 17. It's down in the beginning section here that I want to focus on just for a few moments before we get started. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Verses 18 through 20, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's saying that there should be something different about you. There should be something different about how you conduct yourself. You should be different than those who are not in the church. Does that make sense to everyone so far? So Paul is writing here, and he's saying, you know what? In verse number 20, he says, if you are still drawn to the old things, then in verse number 20, you have not so learned Christ. Because Christ didn't walk like everyone else walked.
Right.
When Christ was on this earth, he didn't do what everyone else did. He was very different, and people hated him for it. So in verse 21, Paul says, "If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And he continues on there of characteristics that we should have. In verse 22, he says, "The former conversation." The word conversation doesn't necessarily mean a dialogue between two people. It's talking about a lifestyle. It's talking about how you do what you do, if that makes sense. Listen, we have very different motives for everything that we do in our lives. Sometimes when not everything is bad, like we would normally think, but our hobbies we most of the time do because we enjoy it for whatever reason. Now, there are certain things in our lives that we do not have the correct motives for. I think that there's a lot of the time, you know, the marketing that we see nowadays, they appeal to our flesh.
Right.
They appeal to things that they know people want to buy. And that is the major push behind it. And a lot of times when we give in to that, it is not for the correct motive. It's because we want to be compared to someone else, or we want something that we shouldn't or couldn't have. That is normally how that goes. Verse 23, Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He says, put off all of that nonsense and focus on what the Lord would have you to do. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now let's get down to verse number 29. I really like this verse for a couple of reasons. But it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So Paul lays out here something very, very interesting, I think. He's talking about the outward actions in verses 25 through 28. He's talking about putting away lying. He's talking about not being angry. He's talking about not stealing. And those are things that I don't want you to do to me. Okay? I don't want anyone lying to me. Don't be trying to steal my stuff. Okay? Just kind of let me be, and we will be members one of another. That's what I like. But in verse 29, Paul adds on to that. He says, also, while you're not taking my stuff and not lying to me and doing things that I don't like, I want you to say good things to me as I say unto you. And I think that this is an interesting subject because a lot of the time, has anyone else other than me said something without thinking? I'm the only one. That's fine. I have said things without thinking. I tend to have tunnel vision about certain things. And so when I'm working on a project, I'm doing a task, someone asks me something, I may be a little bit snippy with them, you know? I try not to be, but it's the way it comes out sometimes. And I apologize for that and move on. But Paul says, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That is how we are to communicate, especially in the church. And so that kind of brings me to what I want to talk about this evening. Now, I hope that you'll stay with me because it's often been said that the difference between preaching and teaching is passion. And so as I utilize the technology that we have, I hope that you will, first of all, work. There we go. Ooh, pretty. Okay. Are we good, Brother Sam? So as we look into these things, what I want us to see is that, first let me say this, I have grown to be very passionate about technology, and especially with our youth. And the reason for that is because, as you may have noticed, I'm not that old, but over the years, I have noticed how it impacts those around me and those even younger than me. And this is something that we can't afford to not pay attention to. Because if you've been paying attention to anything that's going on in the world, they are utilizing technology like never before. I don't stand before you as an expert. This is not what I do, okay? But I come to you as someone who has a passion for it, and especially for those who are teenagers and children. Because the world is trying to lure them in. I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you tonight. There's no kids up here, so I'm going to be a little bit more blunt than normal. I'm looking to do a series similar to this in my junior church class because I think that the kids need to be aware of what it is they're getting into. I don't want to parent your children, but I think that as a teacher, I have obligations to show them what the Bible says and how that relates to current events. And so this is the adult version, if you will. So technology and you, I'm not trying to stand to the side, I hope everyone can see, but practical tips for helping your kids and yourself, and that's kind of based out of Ephesians 4:29. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach a 6-week series tonight, but there is a few things that I think we need to be aware of as we move forward with this. So as we get ready here, there we go. Okay, so just a little bit of groundwork here. Researchers found that internet addiction disorder, that is a real thing now, internet addiction disorder demonstrated widespread reductions of function in major white matter pathways. Such abnormal white matter structure may be linked to some behavioral impairments. That's a very sciencey way of saying that technology is messing with our heads. Okay, it is. There's no way around it. The amount of technology that we use every day is having an impact on our behavior, yep, and on our actions. It is. And we're going to get into some of that here in just a moment. Albert Einstein in the 40s said, "It has become appallingly obvious that our technology has exceeded our humanity." That was a long time ago. So Albert Einstein is telling us, now this isn't Bible, this is Albert Einstein, who I think was probably certifiably insane, but he was a genius in some aspects. So it has become appallingly obvious that our technology has exceeded our humanity. What would he say now? How crazy would his hair be if he saw technology today? So number one, technology and your child. Head over with me to Proverbs 22. I'm sure this is a verse that you either have tacked up in your house or your kids have it memorized because they're sick of hearing you say it. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." A lot of parents use that as the Band-Aid after a spanking. Right? Train up a child. I do this because I care. When I was a kid, I didn't feel that way. But I don't have kids because the junior church class is about all I can handle. But when it says train up a child, I think that that refers to every area of life. I do. I think that there's a lot that kids can learn from their parents if they'll just stop talking and listen. But this verse is talking about everything. Train up a child in the way he should go. In what way? In every way. As parents, adults have the responsibility to teach them what they should and should not be doing. And I think we're starting to see the effect of parents not doing their job. We see riots in the streets. We see millennials being millennials, whatever that means. We see a bunch of foolishness. All because of a lack, I believe, of not training up a child. So let's talk about the good just for a second. I am not biased in any way during this. Just to make it clear, I use technology. So technology is good in some ways. I'm going to show you the good. I want to try to show you the bad, and I also want to show you the danger. And so what we're going to do is divide up into three sections. Number one is technology in your child. The good. Technology can help develop special skills and abilities in young people. This is a proven scientific fact. I'll show you some little charts and graphs here in just a moment. But I definitely believe that technology does have a part in helping bring out some of the creative side of children is a thing. So next, let's look at the bad just for a moment. Technology can easily become addictive to young minds. This is no secret, is it? You give a kid an iPhone for a day, they want it for a week, and then a month, and then a year. Next thing you know, you have a child who can't look at you in the eyes because you're not a screen. It can become addictive, and oftentimes it does. Number three, the danger. Technology can become a window through which predators and evils can penetrate barriers. Again, there's no kids up here tonight, but I think that this should be enough to make us err on the side of caution. You know, I was listening, sometimes I listen to the radio on my way into work, mainly because of the traffic. So I was listening to the radio, and they were actually talking about this the other day, and they were talking about the danger of it all. And they, mind you, this isn't necessarily quote-unquote Christian people. These are people who think with common sense and a level brain, and they say, you know what? Everyone streams privacy now, but kids need to be monitored. It's true. And I think adults should have certain barriers as well. Right. So we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. So the good, the bad, and the danger. So this is kind of going to be our jumping off point, especially for this age group. I don't want to spend a lot of time on these because I do have a little bit of a few things that I would like to say about this. So does everyone awake? We ready to go? Okay. All right, here we go. So this first chart I have for you is frequency of use by activity. I apologize if everyone can't see this. I'll try my best to kind of speak as I go. But frequency of use by activity, this is specifically children 12 years old and under. So in the different categories there, in the utility category, right about 10% of kids 12 years old and under utilize it for utilities. But what I want to draw your attention to that bottom there. And that it says playing games. So approximately 35%, right about there, 35% of kids 12 years old and under admit to very often using technology for playing games. Okay? Now, there's some stuff on there that's not bad. I think we can all agree. Utility, that's probably like the calculator, notes, things like that. Not necessarily bad. Communication, viewing, things like, recreational things. And then learning. I don't have an issue with those things, personally. But the playing games part, that's right about 20% higher than utility, a little over 15% of communication, right about 10% more than viewing, and right about 5% more than learning. So this chart tells me that kids admittedly, mind you, prefer technology over playing games, and here's just a little bit of the proof for it. Now, I could have just bombarded this with statistics and graphs, but I don't want you to fall asleep on me, okay? So, I think this is important, because kids admittedly did this. Now, there's a lot of things kids won't admit to. Those of you who are parents should have agreed there. There's a lot of things kids won't admit to. There were things, when I was a kid, I didn't want to admit to. I didn't want to admit to breaking something. Just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to get in trouble. Okay? But these are kids admitting what they are using technology for. Students from grade 6 through college only study for 6 minutes before switching to a tech distraction like social media or texting. The thing I like the most about this slide is that it was published by commonsense.org. I love that. Because there are level-headed people out there who are saying this is a problem. And if we're not careful, it is going to completely mess up human culture as we know it. I firmly believe that. I'm not a doomsday prepper or anything like that, but I think that this is bordering on dangerous. It's even in our churches. That's just a mind-boggling number to me. 6 minutes. They spend 6 minutes studying before switching to a technology distraction. Okay. So we're just going to look at the left side there. It says online safety for children. Do your children know how to browse the internet safely? Again, I'm not necessarily a technology guy, but there are easy ways to do this. Okay, depending on if you have Apple, Android, all that sort of thing. If you don't know, then I would refer you to some of the tech guys in our church. I don't want to mention names over live stream, but we do have some guys in our church who are very good about this sort of thing. Okay, so I would encourage you to talk with them. Make sure that your child is as anonymous online as possible. If for some reason you feel like your kid needs to be online, that's your prerogative. You're the parent, not me. But be smart about it. And the reason why is because on that far side, we're going to talk about the middle here in just a moment. So on that far side, it says, did you know 50% of children in kindergarten or first grade have interacted with other people on websites? 50% of kids in kindergarten or first grade have already utilized technology to talk to someone they don't know. That's terrifying. You know, when I was a kid, and my mom would take me shopping, you know, however many kids she would take at a time, depending on her sanity for the day. She would take us out shopping. We'd go to Walmart or, you know, wherever. And if a stranger came up to us and started talking, mom was in fight mode. She's not that big. But I'm fairly certain she could have taken down the biggest man. Because it's her kid. You don't mess with a parent's kid, right? But why is it that we feel like technology isn't that dangerous? Just because you can't see them doesn't mean that no damage can be done. Okay? I'm going to try to be as real about this as I possibly can. Because I don't think that we understand what is going on here. I really don't. Okay, so next. I know we have some teenagers up here. And that's fine. I'm not going to say anything the teenagers can't hear. But I think it's important that especially teenagers, y'all need to pay attention. We'll talk about that in a second. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Trying to get ahead of myself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. Again, I'm sure that most teenagers at some point or another have heard this. I'm sure most adults have said it. This is a good life rule. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, Brother Mason, I wasn't doing anything wrong. So, if you are doing something questionable enough to make someone doubt your Christian testimony, it's wrong. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I'm going to zero in on technology a little bit, but this is, again, a good life principle to have. Because I do not ever want someone to look at something I'm doing and be turned away from the cause of Christ. That would be one of the worst things that could happen. And so, specifically with technology, this relates in a lot of ways that I think, even I didn't really think about, to be honest with you, until I was putting this together. So the good. Back up. Maybe. Oh, there we go. The good. Technology can have a huge positive impact for education. Okay? I think that's probably true. I didn't use a whole lot growing up. I mean, I used a computer when I had to for reports and such, but the education world is kind of moving more towards the technology side of it. You know, most schools give out laptops and iPads and all that sort of thing. You can do what you want there. I don't really have much to say about it. Especially, I think for our church specifically, a lot of our kids do homeschool, and that's obviously, I don't have anything against that because I was homeschooled. But a lot of it's going to online learning and such. So there is some good in that, I believe, when it comes to teenagers. The bad, technology can become a toy rather than a tool. That's similar to children as well. I definitely think that we utilize technology more as a toy. I know that even as an adult, which is what my age says, my IQ is more of a child sometimes, but when I get a new technology tool, when I get a new phone, or when I get my MacBook, it was like the best thing that's ever happened, and that quickly fades, you know, like everything else, but it can easily become a toy rather than a tool, which kind of defeats the education part if you let it go. Lastly, the danger. Technology can be used in such a way that some teenagers find it easy to participate in cyberbullying and or inappropriate relationships. There's a lot I could say about this, to be honest with you. I have personally, to my knowledge, never been involved in cyberbullying because it wasn't really a big deal for me. I was homeschooled during my high school years, so I got to avoid a lot of that nonsense. But it is a real thing. Did y'all know that? It is a real thing. You didn't sound like it, so I want to make sure. That is a real thing, cyberbullying and inappropriate relationships. I didn't pull it up solely because I don't want to know, but I would be terrified to look at the statistic as to how many teenagers commit suicide over cyberbullying. I don't want to know, to be honest with you. That's the only reason why I didn't put it up. Okay, so all three together there, the good, the bad, and the danger. Again, education, great thing. The bad, it can easily become a toy, and the danger, I think the most prevalent danger is two things, cyberbullying and inappropriate relationships. No question in my mind about that. Okay, so while doing homework, I love this one. This makes me, also by commonsense.org, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite websites. While doing homework, 51% of teens watch TV. 50% of teens use social media, probably tweeting about what it was that they're supposed to be learning. 60% of teens text while doing homework. Yet most feel multitasking doesn't harm the quality of their work. Made by commonsense.org. All right, so the majority of parents, that is 66% of parents, feel their teens spend too much time on their mobile devices. Heard some murmurs there. I don't want to make it awkward in your house, but I think that needs to be said. Made by Common Sense Media. 50% of teens feel they are addicted to their own devices. Wow. So why do they do it? Because their parents gave it to them. Because their parents told them that that is their form of communication. Again, I'm not trying to parent. I promise, I'm not. But I think that this speaks a lot. And mind you, this was not necessarily to independent Baptist teenagers. This was to secular kids who go to high school at the public high school or private school or whatever, admitting, half of them admitting that they are addicted to their own devices. That is crazy, in my opinion. Okay. So, ages of teens who say they have received or sent a sexually sensitive nude or nearly nude photo by email or phone text. 9% of those were 13-year-olds. 13% were 14-year-olds. 17% 15, 18% 16, 24% 17, and 20% 18. Again, I don't want to dwell on these things, but that is something we need to seriously consider. Again, not a parent, but that is terrifying. And to think that, again, these are not independent Baptist teenagers. These are secular teenagers admitting just what they admitted to have been doing. Oh, there we go. Number three, technology and you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. Everyone still awake?
Amen.
All right. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." I think that verse speaks for itself, I would hope. But I think all of this can fall under the umbrella of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Because whether you like it or not, technology is a conduit by which you say or do things. What you post on Facebook is how you feel. Therefore, that is communication. Have I lost anyone so far? What you tweet is sent from you. Okay? If I leave my phone open on Facebook, it's probably not going to post anything. If it does, I'm going to destroy it and get a new phone, because that's creepy. It's not going to happen. It only does what we tell it to do. I don't want to get political or anything, but it's the exact same principle as vehicles, as guns, as everything. It is solely dependent on the one using it. Technology is no different. It can be every bit as dangerous as everything else. So the good. I think this is something that a lot of adults use as their method to technology, and that's fine. Technology can be great for communication with those far away. That's a good reason, I think. The bad. Technology can easily be a persistent distraction. I don't know about you, but whenever I'm talking to someone, or I'm in a meeting or something, that's always the time which my phone goes off. Every time. Every single time. So it can easily be a persistent distraction. The danger. Technology can be a quote-unquote roadmap for predators to access your personal information of you and your family. See, I think that's something that's lost on us a lot of the time. We don't really think about the implications of what it is that we're doing. Okay? And I don't want to speak badly of any companies. Again, we're on live stream, so I want to be careful about what I say here. But location is everything. When you post something that says, "I am here," and who you're with, it's pretty obvious what all is going on there. Okay? So we're going to talk about that again here in just a minute. Okay, so there's all three put together, the good, the bad, and the danger. Technology is great for communication. It can easily be a distraction, and it can be a roadmap for predators to access your information and that of your family. All right, 74% of all adults that use the internet also use social media, with millennials, that is people ages 18 to 29, representing 89% of social media users. So, essentially what they're saying is 3 out of 4 people are involved in social media, and then 89% of social media users are those term millennials, 18 to 29 years of age. That's not a surprise to us, is it? I don't think. Okay. I think we all pretty much saw that one coming. So I'm not going to read this whole thing to you. I think it's pretty surprising, to be honest. mobile and social adoption by generation. This is as of January last year. It's pretty interesting to read. Own a smartphone, 92% of millennials. No shock there. Own a tablet computer, 54% of millennials. The thing I find interesting, though, is own a tablet computer. 64% of those people born 1965 to 1980. I thought that was pretty interesting. Quite a bit more own a tablet computer. Social media, easily millennials, no question about it. And then those born 1965, 1980, representing 75% of social media. Okay, so I feel like I'm bordering more on the teacher side at this moment, so just bear with me as we continue on here. There we go. Okay, so we were talking about distractions a minute ago. 88% of U.S. drivers believe distracted driving is on the rise. Shocking. 70% of U.S. adults say they want new technology in their vehicles. 24% of U.S. adults feel that the technology actually works perfectly. They don't drive. 40 seconds. Listen to this one. 40 seconds is the time it takes a driver to complete a task like navigation or send a text, even with voice-based and touchscreen features. Wow, that's something. You know, a lot can be done in 40 seconds. If you're driving your car 60 miles an hour for 55 seconds, that's the length of, I believe it's 2 football fields, maybe 3, so that's about 200-300 yards. A lot can happen in 200 or 300 yards. So the thing that I want to point out here is the 70% of U.S. adults say they want new technology in their vehicles. I think we know why that is, don't we? We want to be more attached, right? My car, for instance, has Apple CarPlay. Pretty amazing, I think. The problem is, though, I quickly learned that it can become a distraction. Okay, because my phone rings, and I look at the screen, which is better than looking down at my phone, I guess, in some ways. But it's still a distraction. Okay, I'm not going to harp on anyone about their driving. I don't know how most of you drive, to be honest. I don't like other people driving me because I don't trust people. Just being honest about it. But this is a real problem. Okay, and if you don't believe me, you should head on down to the local police department. I'm sure they could give you some stories. Okay. Perceptions of over-sharenting on social media. Yes, you heard that right. Over-sharenting. That is a young people way of saying you are telling people too much. 74% of parents feel another parent shared too much online. 27% shared inappropriate photos of a child. 51% gave information that could identify a child's location. 56% gave embarrassing information about a child. Not trying to parent, but that is dangerous. You see, these are things that I think parents probably don't think about. Here's what I mean by that. If you have things set up on your phone to where your phone can track you, which it most of the time comes by default, if you have it set up that way and you post something on Facebook, whether you see it or not, most of the time, unless if you have gone in there and manually done it, it posts your location. It will say Knob Noster, Missouri, or it will say Warrensburg, Missouri, or wherever it is that you're at. You get the point. It'll say that. It'll say some people like to check in places for whatever reason. It'll say, so-and-so checked in at Calvary Baptist Church. Now everyone knows where you are. I don't know what good that does, but everyone knows where you are. You can do that anywhere. And if you don't change it, people know where you are. I don't like people knowing where I am. I like my wife to know in case if, you know, something happens or whatever. I prefer that my wife knows, so there's some communication there. But I have no desire for either my Facebook friends or my non-Facebook friends or those people that should be blocked from Facebook knowing where I'm at. I'm just being honest with you. And we need to be careful. That's all I'm saying. We need to be careful. Okay. So this is the last PowerPoint. I'm not done. But this is my last PowerPoint. The question is it time for a digital detox? America's smartphone addiction. Let me just read you a couple of these. Hang tight. U.S. smartphone owners check their phone 47 times a day. Whew, we must be important. Just shy of 80% of people check their phone within an hour of getting up or going to sleep. 35% of those same people either check their phone before getting up or going to sleep 5 minutes before or after. A lot must have happened while you were asleep. 47% of people have tried to limit their phone usage in the past. Only 30% have done so successfully. And then it gives you top five steps taken to limit phone usage based on statistics that they got. 38% of people keep their phone in their handbag or pocket while meeting people. You still have it with you, so, you know. 32% of people turn off their audio notifications. 27% of people keep their phone in their bag or pocket when alone. 26% of people delete apps. And 26% of people turn off their phone at night. Okay? So, yeah. I think that's it for that. Okay, great. So that's all I want to say about that side of it. Okay? So, just for a few minutes here, I want us to think about something. And that is that when it comes to technology, okay, this is a decision that you have to make. Okay? I can't stand up here and say you should do this and you shouldn't do that. That's not my job. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm not going to. But I think that there's a few things we can draw from this. Okay? Are you ready? Hello.
Amen.
Okay. Good. Worried you might fall asleep there. So Ephesians chapter 4. Turn back over there with me one more time. So this part of the message is not so much going to be geared towards the younger side of the spectrum, if you will. So those kids, maybe 12 and under, not really going to be involved in them. I didn't do that because they're not up here, so I don't really think that part of it's too important. So what I want to focus on just for the last few minutes here is teenagers and adults, okay, the people that are up here in the room today. Okay, so when it comes to both parties, okay, in order for us to do anything about the apparent issue that we are having, the last slide called it America's smartphone addiction. Okay, I don't specialize in addictions. That's not something that I do. There's a great program I know that meets somewhere that I'm normally at that will help you, and that is called Hope. Okay, so that is a great place to go and learn about that sort of thing. That's not my specialty, but what I do want to show you is that in verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So listen, before we can do anything else, I want you to think back to that last slide that 30% of people who have tried to wean themselves off of technology, only 30% succeeded, or they claim that they succeeded, which means they probably lasted 12 to 24 hours. Then they went back to their old habits. That's normally how it goes. So if we're going to see anything change, there must be a change of thought. Okay? It's just like anything else. Any other addiction, it is the exact same process. In order for you to fix something, you have to know something is wrong. Is this making sense to everyone? Okay, let's turn this to spiritual things. Before you got saved, what did you have to realize? That you were not saved. Right? So that's how this process works. If you're going to change something, you have to understand why it is wrong. And listen, I think that it is enough for us to know what technology is primarily being used for. Okay? I tried to present some good out of it. It's great to keep in communication. It's great to want to learn. Those things are great. I have no issue with that. My issue are the people doing it for the wrong reasons or doing the wrong things. That is the issue. And listen, if we're going to fix anything tonight, we have to do what verse 23 says. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That is how you fix something. And Paul mentions a couple of things that directly relate to technology. Okay? And that is this. In verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying. Okay? I hope no one does this. But if you follow any kind of celebrity on social media, most of it is fluffing up about themselves. Okay? That's what I hear. I'm not really on there because I don't have time and I don't really care. But most people lie. That's what they do. They lie. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Okay, I would venture to say that most of social media is a conduit by which people justify their sin. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I fail to see how technology is giving, social media specifically, is giving a whole lot back to people that is good. Okay, there are some good things. GoFundMe, okay, that's great. But a lot of it is not. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication. Most of the things that is mainstream social media is corrupt communication in some way or another. It's talking about someone. It's putting someone else down. It is a way to blast out information and be almost completely unfiltered, okay, essentially. So that's some dangers. There's some dangers there. And then verse number 30, Paul says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If I am renewed in my mind like I'm supposed to be, that means I'm supposed to be putting some stuff off, right? Is this making sense so far? In verses 17 through 20, we saw that. We're not going to rehash it. But whenever I have a change of thinking, it impacts actions, which impact my habits. Okay? It impacts those things which I do on a daily basis. For example, when I was lost, lying didn't bother me as much. I knew when it was wrong, but it didn't bother me as much. When I got saved, that was not the case. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit was grieved. Therefore, He grieved me. Okay? Until I got it right. That's the way it goes. That's how it should go. If I have a changed mind, it impacts my relationship with God. So, the question that I have for you is very simple. It is, are you using your technology to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, or is it aiding your mission to have a renewed mind? What is it doing for you? What is it doing? This is exactly the same process. Again, there's nothing deep here tonight. We've all heard this before. But before we can enact change, we have to see that there is a problem. And again, I want to keep saying this because I want to be very, very careful not to interject myself into your homes. But if you don't know your children's passwords, get them. Yeah. I came this close to putting up there all of the hidden apps that teenagers use. I couldn't do it because I don't have enough memory on my computer. There are things masked as a calculator. There's a fake Facebook profile. So they can have two Facebook logos. One of them is real, one of them's not. It's actually a chat room. This is real stuff. Yep. This is what is happening. And yet for some reason, we think, no big deal. They'll have to figure it out for themselves when they get older. Stop. Just stop. This is a real issue. And the more that I look into it, the more that it impacts my life, the more I think about those younger than me, those kids that I teach every Sunday. It's laid on my heart. This is important stuff. We teach the kids, don't lie, don't drink, don't steal, don't do any of those things. But you can use unmonitored technology all you want. It's foolishness. That's all it is. I stand before you as someone who is concerned about these things. I'm concerned about what is going to happen to our younger generation. You know, as most of you know, I grew up here for the most part. And I can't tell you how many teens used to be in the teen class that are no longer in church. And that's just dealing with, most of the time, that's dealing with physical things. That really has nothing to do with technology. I wonder how technology is impacting our future leaders class, and our college and career class, and our young married class, and so on and so forth. Most of the time, it is so embedded in our thinking and in our hearts that we don't even realize that there's a problem. So I submit to you, verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need to get our minds off of the idea that technology is necessary and needful and we can't live without it. Get out of that thinking. We need to fix it. I realize that technology is not going anywhere. Okay? This is not a battle that I'm trying to fight, because it's not going to work. But what I am saying is that most of the time, the case is we're not utilizing the safeguards that are on the technology. Every phone comes equipped with a way to set up parental controls. It has to. Computers do the same. Okay? At my job, it won't let you use the internet for Facebook. It's all blocked. Okay? It's no different for personal phones or iPads or whatever you want to fill in. Okay? So on the teenager side, abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay? This isn't specifically to the teens, but I think it's necessary for them to hear. Listen, being a teenager who grew up in this church, there are definitely still evils that can penetrate your mind. Okay? Doesn't matter how good your church is. Well, it does matter. But what matters is how the safeguards that you put on your own mind. That matters more than anything else. Your parents can have every password. They can have every website that you're ever on. But there are still ways for the devil to get stuff in your mind. It will always happen. Until you decide to monitor what's in your own noggin, you won't fix anything. Adults, it's the same with us. Okay? We also need to put up safeguards. But I worry more on the distraction side of it for us. You know, I have this thing set up on my phone. Of course, I use Apple everything. iPhone, iPad, all that stuff. Because I think it's great. It's simple. But I have it set up on my iPhone to where every week it sends me a notification of it's called screen time. It tells me how much I've been on my phone all week. Now, granted, I use most of my phone for work. I have to place calls and that sort of thing. But it's pretty surprising. That first one you get, you're like, I spent how much time this week on my phone? Man. You know, if we dumped half of the time we were spending on technology into the personal relationships in our lives, it'd be a whole lot better for us. Instead of being on Facebook for 8, 10, 12 hours a week, how about you spend it with your spouse? Spend it with developing a friendship in the church. Try and disciple someone. I don't know. We'll find something for you to do. Pastor has plenty of ideas. If we can just get it in our mind that it is not as acceptable as we think it is, then I will consider this a success. Okay, because I've got to be honest with you, I had to take an honest look at myself this past week. I've actually been working on this for longer than a week, but it's just been on my mind because this is a real issue. I know I keep saying that, but it is. Even in a church like ours. So tonight, what are you doing with your technology? Are you using it or is it using you? There are very real dangers out there. And you need to be aware of them as well as your children.